President Biden will address the country later tonight in his State of the Union address. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg talked about it on CBS Mornings.
This is a chance for the president to talk about the strides that our economy has made under his leadership, adding more jobs than any president ever.
Negotiations are in limbo in Gaza. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Talks over a ceasefire in exchange for a hostage release. Those have stalled. Hamas officials left Cairo without reaching a deal. But Hamas says talks will resume next week.
A House panel is voting on two bills to protect data from countries like China and Russia through apps like TikTok. Washington Republican Kathy Morris Rogers.
TikTok's access to 170 million American users makes it a valuable propaganda tool for the CCP to exploit and use for nefarious purposes.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court says Wisconsin regulators have to develop PFAS restrictions before mandating cleanups. The ruling is a win for businesses in Wisconsin. Attorney General Josh Call says he'll appeal the case to the state Supreme Court. Call says having to work with lawmakers will slow down the enforcement of new clean drinking water rules. Republicans are slamming Vice President Kamala Harris after yesterday's Wisconsin visit. Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming.
The very same working people that she was standing in front of have been the most punished under this administration. That is demonstrably true.
Harris was in Madison to talk about apprenticeships in the trades and infrastructure. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Daylight savings time is this Sunday, March 10th. While it's only a one-hour time change, research shows people tend to lose about 40 minutes of sleep because of the shift.
Well, daylight savings time affects our sleep patterns because, I mean, we're losing that hour of sleep. It can make you feel irritable, be extra sluggish, and it can affect your overall, it's hard on your body, so it affects your health.
That's Rebecca Wagner, a Spirus polysomnographic technologist.
Adjusting to a time change would be just having a harder time falling asleep because it's either earlier or later. Getting to sleep and then staying asleep just because it's off your schedule. It can also affect how you feel when you wake up in the morning, making it harder to wake up.
She says you shouldn't take naps to try to make up for sleep loss, avoid rigorous activity before bed, and limit screen time at night. Sleep is foundational to our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Playmakers sponsored by Wham Incorporated. Quality Plus Printing brings you Wham Incorporated. Empower your game with custom apparel and bring out the hero in you. Whenever you need team gear, have special events, and more, Wham Incorporated is there with super speed. And there's no need to thank them because it's all in a day's work. Wham Incorporated. Located on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Saving the day one order at a time.
The Bucks get crushed by Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks began their West Coast trip by losing by 35 points to Golden State, the final 125-90. Doc Rivers says the Warriors were rested and ready after getting blown out by Boston Sunday.
What did they have? 3-4 days off after losing by 50? What was the odds of them playing poorly? Zero.
Marquette losing at home on senior night to one of the best teams in the nation, the number 2 ranked UConn Huskies, 74-67. Shaka Smart.
I told the guys in the locker room afterwards, you know, the real way to honor your seniors is what happens after senior night, the rest of the season.
In Green Bay, the Girls State High School basketball tournament is underway at the Rest Center. The finals on Saturday. Tonight in Madison, it's the Badgers against Rutgers.
You continue to push. You continue to reward the guys that are playing winning basketball and then helping the guys that are trying to find that space for them.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Mostly sunny and mild today, with high temperatures hitting the low 50s. Tonight will become mostly cloudy with chances of rain rolling in overnight. In fact, by tomorrow morning, we could even be waking up to a wintry mix with wet snow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Thursday on Busted Pencils, Carol Burris busts down state's underfunding schools.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is hour number two of the big program, now six past the hour of 1 o'clock across Wisconsin. On this Thursday, March 7th, 2024, we are high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in downtown Madison. It is a gorgeous George afternoon here in Madison. In the words of my former colleague at WRCO, the great news director, Brian Kennedy, who used to call days like this gorgeous George afternoons.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I understand.
Yes, absolutely. It's the sun is out, mostly clear sky, sees a blue sky, 50 degrees, I believe, 50, 51 right now in Madison. Hopefully it's nice where you are. Hour number two here, going to talk about the great reporting from AJ Byport down in Milwaukee at CBS 58. Going through these documents now showing that Republican United States Senator, MAGA Senator Ron Johnson, his office was told on January 6th documents were, in fact, about fake electors. Surprise, surprise to very few, Ron Johnson lied about what he knew and when he knew about the fake electors and January 6th. Some great reporting by AJ Byport. We will go through that a little bit later on in this hour. Also, some cuts from another Republican, the new Republican nominee for governor in North Carolina, Mark Robinson. This is a real dude, just got the nomination for Republican governor in North Carolina. And some of the things that he's saying, in normal times, you would think, well, it couldn't get any crazier. But then it goes, of course, you got Trump as the presidential nominee. Those two deserve each other.
Mark Robinson, he's really the best gubernatorial candidate. Nobody's got anyone like him. He's MLK Jr. on steroids.
That's pretty good, Mr. Zommers. It's a pretty good Trump.
I can do better when I'm not still overcoming a sickness. But
that's not bad at all.
The hand motions are important. You got to do the weird little just take your hands. They're kind of close together. Move them rapidly apart quickly and then just stop there and then keep doing that.
We also may hear from MTG a little bit later in the show. If things, if we need her, we'll bring her out. She went off on a reporter and she got a little feisty. So we have edited the clip for radio and we may hear from Marjorie Taylor Greene a little bit later. She's going to be there presumably tonight in the nation's capital, in the Capitol building, in the House of Representatives, when President Joe Biden gives his State of the Union address. You can hear it right here at 8 o'clock across much of the Civic Media Radio Network and also on the Civic Media app. Stuart J. Waddles and Maggie Dawn anchoring our coverage tonight. On select stations, you can hear Wisconsin men's basketball, Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Racine Kenosha will have men's college basketball, Badger style, senior night at the Kohl Center starting at around 6 p.m. tip off tonight. So a lot going on here at Civic Media tonight. Taking your calls still this hour, talking about the state of the union. And we played this cut at the end of last hour of Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and Republican leadership in the House of Representatives trying to do her best to be Reagan-esque and ask the question to America, are you better off than 4 years ago? Thinking that the answer would be no. But I said, you know, as our friend likes to say, it's important to remember history. Not woke if you don't know history, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say. So you have to look at history. And remember, history tells us that 4 years ago, March of 2020, we were shutting businesses down, my former coffee shop included. People were being laid off. You couldn't buy toilet paper in the grocery store. Gas was rising. People were dying. You had morgues set up in semi-trailer trucks and parking lots of hospitals and mass graves on Long Island.
And now, of course, Donald Trump, not personally responsible for the COVID pandemic. However, his response to it was garbage at best.
I mean, he said this is nothing more than the flu. Remember, he called it the flu. When other countries in Europe were saying this is a major pandemic, Trump was calling it a flu and told Anthony Fauci and other medical professionals we're not gonna talk about this. So anyway, and now I'm sorry, Peggy, if you want to call back, I was just about to go to Peggy, but I'm sorry, I was talking too much and she dropped off the line. Peggy apparently worked at a hospital, so we'll go to Peggy if she calls back. Right now, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for calling. Let's see.
Yeah, first off, thanks so much to Peggy for working in the hospital. I was well aware of what was going on with the, at the hospitals during COVID because, you know, March of 2020, that I was halfway into my chemo, and so watching my nurses going from having readily available PPE to not having to ration them and making them last a week, and they're going from going to the waiting room when full of fellow travelers, you know, going through chemo and all that when I get to the hospital, to going to the place where you're there by yourself. Mm-hmm. Because they had to reschedule everyone, you know, and spread them out and not have them, you know, so they didn't have people, you know, rubbing elbows with each other.
Right.
It is just sad that, you know, that people do not remember that Donald Trump pooched it when he disbanded the pandemic response agency when, you know, that was one of the first things he did. He bragged about that. I mean, for goodness sakes, just completely idiotic.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just sad that people, you know, have to be reminded of this. I mean, the people have the attention. Sometimes people have the attention span of a gnat, and that's probably an insult to gnats. But it is just sad.
But I think, Mark, to your point, it's easy because Joe Biden has been so humble about it and done such a great job. It's easy to remember, or pardon me, it's difficult to remember where we were 4 years ago because things are, for many people, it feels like back to normal. And so we forget where we were.
And having just a basic knowledge of economics, you have to understand why prices are what they are. I mean, now you see that there's a sign at the grocery store where, you know, that there might be a bottleneck on supply for eggs because of the avian flu.
Right.
It goes to these mega operations for eggs.
And eggs is a good one that's actually come down considerably. As we've talked before, there are other companies, not just groceries, but products, where companies just mark things up because they could. And they're never coming back down because corporations are just like, hey, let's get as much money as we can out of people.
And that's certainly the case. And people are foolish to believe otherwise.
Yep.
I mean, that's basic marketing that I had back, you know, 45 years ago, now back when I was in college.
Hey, Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks for the call, my friend. 855-752-4842. Peggy from Brooklyn. Thanks for calling back, Peggy. Appreciate your service in healthcare. Share with our audience, if you would, where were you 4 years ago?
Thank you, Ted. So I worked at VA Hospital, and I was going to retire, but I knew they were going to have problems hiring people, so I hung in 1 year longer. And I had a Republican doctor, far right. He looked at me one day and he said, My family and I haven't spoken because I refuse to vote for Donald Trump.
Wow.
He goes, because the guy is stupid. And then I had an ICU nurse who was a very good friend of mine, who I actually had to almost put a collar on her because we were out having a beer outside up by Lodi, and the guy said, you guys don't have to wear masks up here. And we were sitting outside, and we said, and my nurse said, I had 2 17-year-olds come in this week. One dropped over in the hallway, and the other one we got on a ventilator, and he didn't make it through the night because they waited too long.
Wow.
And I actually was sort of questioning, because you know how you are. You're like, I don't know. Do we believe this? Do we not believe this? You know? And she said, Peggy, this is real. And then I had one doctor look right at me, and he said, Peggy, we have 7 techs working here. And I worked in angio at the time. And he goes, you will see one of you probably not making it through this. And because you're the oldest, make sure you're in good health.
Incredible.
And I actually was afraid that I might die.
Of course.
And I honestly didn't want to believe it.
Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing this story, Peggy, from someone who is actually in the trenches and working in healthcare. And do you think, you know, as I was saying before to Mark, it's easy because President Biden, the administration, and all kinds of other people have done such a great job of getting us through it. It's easy to forget where we were 4 years ago.
Well, yesterday I just went for a procedure at UW Hospital, and I was amazed they were still wearing masks. And I said to them, you guys, all the other clinics are not wearing masks. Mm. And they said, that's because we had 87 people come in the last week. Wow. With either RSV or COVID.
Yeah.
And we had 17 people get it, and we're short-staffed. And no, I said, I'll be happy to wear my mask.
Yeah, we're still dealing with a lot of it. But again, we don't have millions of people dying, and the economy is roaring. So thanks for all you did in healthcare over your years, Peggy. Thanks for being there, and thanks for calling in. Really, really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank
out
you.
There. My
have
pleasure.
A good day.
Yep,
you
out
too.
There in Brooklyn. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, thanks for calling in. 4 years ago compared to today, what say you, Karina?
Well, you know, Don, I worked for a pharmacy. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible because we were lucky enough to be able to get a huge supply because, you know, most of the people who work for our pharmacy are foreigners. So we're not Americans. We don't listen what they say when they say don't worry about it.
Right.
So we start ordering stuff in November before when the China closed.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia closed, and everybody else closed, we start buying PPE supplies. So by the January and February, I was going around and distributing it for free to our firefighters, our police, our first responders, our seniors. Mm-hmm. They had nothing.
Wow.
They absolutely had nothing. There is also a horrible fact that there is a lot of seniors' housing owned.
Yeah.
By our Republican representative in the state. And what I did, I called them all and I asked if I can go in the building and do the vaccination for their seniors.
Sure.
And they absolutely refused to do that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, Karina,
yeah.
Again, thank you.
It was such a shock. Can you tell me who was talking about Trump? And I want to say that it's the worst thing ever happened to America.
Thanks. Karina, I appreciate what you did in healthcare as well. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the call. We'll pick up on the other side. Don't go anywhere. More of the All Balls Show straight ahead on a Thursday afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
What do trees and the joy of painting artist Bob Ross have in common? Ross loved both painting and the environment. He used simple brush strokes to bring happy little trees to life on canvas. Well, now the Wisconsin DNR is using this as inspiration for a virtual Run for the Trees race called the Bob Ross Happy Little 5K. The race supports a healthy lifestyle along with a healthy forest, and a part of your registration fee will go towards a large tree planting effort all across Wisconsin. Now, the best part, pick where and how you start and finish, and complete your 5K anytime between Earth Day on April 22nd and Arbor Day, April 26th. Find all the details and sign up at dnr.wisconsin.gov/events, and then simply search for Run for the Trees. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, March 7th. Mr. Sommers taking your calls, as always, doing yeoman's work, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also text us on the Civic Media app. Mark from the SAC texting in on WMDX here in Madison says, glad to hear that they are wearing masks again at UW Hospital. When I had a scan at GHC and then my consult with UW doctor's oncologist in January, I wonder if at one point a nearly dead Andre Jacques is still unvaccinated and unmasked. Andre Jacques, the state senator, who we'll try to get to that story later, who is a candidate now for Congress. He wants to be very conservative. Toby Roth is his uncle, who used to be the congressman. I forget what the guy, Roth is his former state senator.
Yeah.
He's running Republican, but now Andre Jacques is also running. And here's a guy who decided not to get vaccinated and ended up in the hospital for like a month on COVID, nearly died, was on a ventilator, tragic. And
still doesn't believe in
and
it.
And still, after all that, said, no, I'm fine. And went on to focus on other legislation dealing with four-legged friends. And we'll talk about that maybe later on in the show. But want to get back to the State of the Union tonight. And as you may or may not recall, a year ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene was wearing if you've seen 101 Dalmatians, she looked not dissimilar to Cruella de Vil in kind of a big white fluffy thing around her neck and
big old coat with the shoulders that poof out like Cruella de Vil.
She looked like a Disney character. And of course, she was completely disrespectful and stood up and yelled at Joe Biden and called him a liar from the floor of the House of Representatives. Never seen anything like that. So here now a story from the Daily Beast on decorum. House Speaker Mike Johnson pleaded with his Republican colleagues during a closed-door conference meeting yesterday to refrain from any outlandish behavior during President Joe Biden's State of the Union speech tonight, according to The Hill. Quote, decorum is the order of the day, unquote, Johnson said, according to one of the three unidentified Republican lawmakers who attended the meeting and spoke with the publication. Decorum hasn't necessarily been the case during the past few State of the Union speeches, especially last year, when a number of Republicans openly heckled Biden. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene even called him a liar during a discussion of Republican attempts to cut Social Security and Medicare. Some Republican members, however, seem skeptical that their colleagues would heed Johnson's call. Imagine that. In a conference as fraucous as Republicans in the House, they're not all on the same page. So, quote, what will they do? Somebody asked me earlier that, try that again, Todd. What will they do? Someone asked me that day earlier, and I said, quote, does the Baptist church got a bus? Of course they will, because he's going to say some very offensive things. He's going to attack us, unquote. That was the quote from Tim Burchett, Republican of Tennessee. So he's saying, you know, are Republicans going to heckle Biden? Well, does a Baptist church have a bus? He said, got a bus? Well, of course they're going to heckle him because they said, well, the Biden's going to say some very offensive things. Like, you know, call us out on our lies, probably, you know. So Mike Johnson, you know, he's if nothing, he tries to be polite, even though he's a schmuck and he's a right-wing acolyte of Donald Trump. He tries to do it with a smile on his face, you understand. And so he's pleading with, because he knows the optics are terrible. And of course, people say, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi tore up Trump's speech. Well, that was A, after the speech was over. And B, in that State of the Union speech, Trump actually said some deplorable, terrible things that were divisive and racist and just ridiculous. The speech needed to be torn up, but at least the speaker at the time, Nancy Pelosi, waited until after the speech was done. That's when she tore it up. But there, look, should she have probably done it? No. But do I blame her for doing it? Not necessarily. Because she waited till after the speech was done. Here you have Republicans during a speech heckling. I mean, it's like a comedy club, for goodness sake. You get hecklers. And Biden, of course, handled it with absolutely magnificent ability last year. So that will probably be the big thing that people want to watch is, you know, how does Biden handle the heckling? He's a seasoned veteran of the United States Senate. My guess is he'll handle it pretty well, but we shall see. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hey, Todd, thanks for your show. I hope they can refrain from heckling. I doubt that'll happen, but just a quick question, Todd. Don't you think that doing things like that makes you look bad and also takes a toll in a little way on our society as a whole, that we can't sit and listen to somebody talk for 50 minutes and not throwing barbs out there? No, just my thoughts, Todd. Thanks.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, Wisco. Really appreciate it. No, I totally agree with Wisco. I mean, one of the things that, out of several, that I was most proud of working for my former boss, Dale Schultz, when he was in the Senate. And of course, he was Senate Majority Leader for a time while I worked for him. And one of the things when he became Senate Majority Leader, he said, look, we can disagree without being disagreeable. And I think one of the greatest compliments he ever received was from former Democratic Senate Majority Leader, Bob Jauch, who said of Dale's time as leader, he said, you know what? We always got, as Democrats, we always got a fair shake with Dale. He always treated us with respect. He never, you know, out of spite or meanness, cut off debate on issues. Even though we didn't agree on the issue, he let us have our say. And you know, we didn't pass things in the middle of the night. The business was transacted during the light of day. We were respectful to staffers. Not just the Senate staffers of the other senators, but there's all the support staff. You have the pages, the sergeant's office, the clerk's office. And Dale was magnificently respectful of all these folks that made the institution of the Senate work. And almost to a person on both sides of the aisle, they said Dale was a real stand-up leader for the institution. Maybe the last one we had, quite frankly, in the state Senate. And I think Wisco's call is absolutely right, that whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether it's tearing up speeches or calling people liars, we should at least be able to control ourselves as humans when the leader of the free world is giving a speech, whether you like it or not, no matter what party it is or not. We should at least be able to say we can sit there for an hour and listen to a speech and then do whatever you want. But it's not about Joe Biden, and it's not about Mike Johnson or anybody else. It's about an institution of democracy, the House of Representatives. Wisco's absolutely right. Decorum should be the rule of the night. Not sure I have a lot of hope for it, but it should be. Back with more of your calls after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah. Tune in for a special Thursday State of the Union edition. We'll preview the president's speech. We'll get out the bingo cards. You know, the drinking games. Tune in, Devil's Advocates.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two of the four inmates found dead at the Waupun State Prison since June died of a drug overdose and a stroke. Tyshon Lemons and Cameron Williams died in October. Medical examiners are still investigating two other deaths at the prison. Some inmates sued the corrections department last fall over what they call grossly inadequate health care. Organic farmers say producers and consumers are better off now that a federal court is banning the use of the pesticide dicamba. George Naylor says it wasn't worth it.
I could see my soil deteriorating, and I also looked at the price of what herbicide was going to cost me one year, and I go, jeepers creepers, so I just will try organic.
The Center for Food Safety says dicamba might have affected as many as 1 in every 6 acres of ultra-sensitive soybeans. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Dog owners in the town of Grand Rapids have until March 31st to license their dogs or face a late fee. All dogs need to be licensed or a $5 late fee will be charged per license after March 31st. You have to present proof of rabies vaccination to have a license issued. If you no longer have your dog, you need to call the Grand Rapids Municipal Building to update their records or you may have a citation issued. The number to call is 715-424-1821. Or email info@grandrapidswi.org. The March Rome Farmers Market is happening this Friday, March 8th. It will be at the Woodland Lutheran Church in the town of Rome from noon to 3. You can support local vendors and shop early for your Easter baskets. Lunch will be available for purchase from Jamaican Kitchen. You can also enter to win a gift card or certificate to a restaurant or business when you stop at the Visit Rome booth. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Conexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Comedian Sinbad has been working the road to recovery. The New York Post reports the 67-year-old performer and star of The Sinbad Show suffered a stroke in 2020. He made his first appearance on social media in over a year when he joined the cast of A Different World on Zoom and thanked fans for their support and prayers. Sinbad had to learn how to walk all over again. The comedian, who in addition to being a consummate performing pro, also has a reputation for being a really nice guy. The show must not go on. TMZ reports that actor, stand-up comedian Nick Swartzen was escorted off the stage in the middle of a performance in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Swartzen admitted to being under the influence and incoherent to the point where management turned his mic off. He took to Twitter the next day and said he would make it up to his fans and blamed his incoherent state on alcohol, edibles, and the altitude. Yes, even with chemicals, Nick is much funnier at sea level. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and mild today, with high temperatures hitting the low 50s. Tonight will become mostly cloudy with chances of rain rolling in overnight. In fact, by tomorrow morning, we could even be waking up to a wintry mix with wet snow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
John Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Thursday, March 7th. It is the day of the State of the Union. Will be tonight, anyway. And it could get crazy. That's some great music. Benny Hill there.
Gotta love it. And yeah, hopefully we don't have to play that, but I'm pretty sure we will.
Well, we want decorum, as we said before the break there in the State of the Union tonight. You can hear it on Civic Media beginning at 8 o'clock on select stations. Some stations starting at 6 will carry the Badger men's basketball game, senior night. But you can find both the coverages of men's basketball and State of the Union starting at 8 o'clock for the State of the Union with Maggie Dawn and Stuart J. Waddles on the Civic Media app. So we're talking about decorum. Well, here now, of course, as we said, Marjorie Taylor Greene did not have her finest moment of several non-fine moments last year at the State of the Union. And she appears now to be revving herself up to be in rare form tonight. This was from Mega Headquarters in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, on Super Tuesday night. And they let in several reporters, amongst them a reporter from the UK, some international press. And, of course, the international press, they're a little saltier than they are here in the United States. They go right after elected officials. And so this really brilliant reporter from the UK kind of lures Marjorie Taylor in with some like legitimate questions, but some easy softball questions. And you can tell Marjorie Taylor Greene is loving it because she's on international television. She thinks this is great. And once the reporter has lured MTG in, she starts asking her about the crazy stuff that Marjorie Taylor Greene and the mega folks talk about. And of course, then Marjorie Taylor Greene figures out, it's like, well, holy macaroni, I'm being exposed. And it doesn't take her long to lose her stuff. So we're going to play the whole thing because it's a brilliant setup. Here is a UK reporter interviewing Marjorie Taylor Greene at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday.
Marjorie, thank you so much. The news agents in from London. What do you think the message should be to Nikki Haley tonight?
Well, we've been encouraging her to drop out and support President Trump. And I think tonight is the clear message that President Trump is the clear front runner. He's the winner in our Republican primary. And it's time for Nikki Haley to drop out and support him.
Do you think President Trump, Mr. Trump, is closer to picking his VP? And should you be on that list?
Oh, you know, that's the question everyone asks. And no, I don't think Nikki Haley should be on the list. But of course, President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you like to be on that list?
He's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me. But I can assure you it won't be Nikki Haley.
And can you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself? He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So,
what about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you f*** off? How about that?
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That reporter deserves a gold star. Because a gold medal. Because, I mean, she lures her in. Well, what about being vice president? And you could tell MTG is eating it up.
She's got a huge smile.
She has a huge smile. And then the reporter kind of goes into, well, what about conspiracy theories? And of course, Marjorie Taylor does not like this, but she answers the question.
I mean, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Right, you're a conspiracy theorist. And then the reporter brings out one of these conspiracy theories of the mega folks of these Jewish space lasers, which is real. I mean, the conspiracy theory is a real thing in mega QAnon culture, including Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that's when she just drops the F-bomb, which we couldn't play the whole thing. But Marjorie Taylor Greene looks at her and says, F you.
Why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you f off? How about that?
Why don't you F off?
we're going to keep that one handy.
I mean, this is the discourse we can expect tonight from Republicans. I mean, if this is any indication, what mega folks don't like is when you call them on the carpet. They don't like that, you understand? And it makes them a little salty. So I just wanted to play that to tee it up tonight, what we could expect tonight. And if that wasn't crazy enough, because I think there's a lot of focus on Trump, you know, essentially sewing up the Republican MAGA nomination. But MAGA is not just, you know, Trump. MAGA and Trumpism permeates the former Republican Party, which according to Trump is now 96 to 100% MAGA. So let's go on down to North Carolina. North Carolina, where on Tuesday night, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson won the GOP primary to become his party's nominee for North Carolina governor, presumably with the help of female voters. This according to the Huffington Post. But just 4 years ago, Robertson invoked a bizarre hypothetical in which he said he'd, quote, absolutely, unquote, like to return to the days when the 19th Amendment didn't exist, when women didn't have the right to vote. But don't take it from me. We've got the clip. Here is the MAGA Republican nominee for governor in North Carolina.
A few days ago, and asked her, what America are we going back to make America great again? The one where women couldn't vote or black people were swinging from trees? I would say to him, if I was standing in front of him, I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Do you know why? Because in those days, we had people who fought for real social change, and they were called Republicans.
Now, I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, by the way, this guy is black, and he's talking about, you know, when you want to go back to the days women couldn't vote and black people were swinging from trees, quote unquote. But, and then he says, I'd like to go back there because we had people that really fought for things. They were Republicans. I'm not even sure what that all means. I'm not even sure what that means. Other than Republicans at the time fought for women's suffrage, not the least of which was Belle Case La Follette, the first lady of former Republican Wisconsin governor fighting Bob La Follette, who later started the progressive movement. But you had Ada James in southwest Wisconsin, the Richland Center, Belle Case La Follette from Baraboo in southwest Wisconsin. They were women's suffragettes and Republicans. So, a guy who is now the nominee for the MAGA Republican Party in North Carolina to say that he wants to go back to the days when women can't vote.
I think he's saying he wants to have principled conservatives who will fight for what is right. However, if you listen to anything else he says, that's not so clear that that's what he means. Then I'm not sure anymore.
Well, funny you should mention that, Mr. Zalmers, because you say, well, let's give the guy the benefit of the doubt here. This guy, Mark Robinson, is fond of going to churches and speaking from the pulpit. Here's what Mr. Robinson, the now Republican MAGA nominee for North Carolina's governor that just won the nomination on Tuesday, here's what MAGA Republican Mark Robinson thinks about gay folks.
Transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth. And if you don't like it that I called it filth, come see me and I'll explain it to you.
So this is from a few years back. But again, this is not a one-off for these people. We keep hearing this from MAGA Republicans time and time and time again. Hate speech, discrimination towards LGBTQ folks, hate speech, taking rights away from women, misogyny. We heard from a caller the other day. I mean, there are Republicans out there, MAGA Republicans, looking at going back to no-fault divorce where women don't have a say. National bans on abortion. And, of course, we know what's going on with IVF, in vitro fertilization, the Alabama Supreme Court Republicans, and the Chief Justice quoting the Bible saying that this is God's will. And, of course, remember, we do not have a national religion in this country. But white Christian nationalists want to replace the Constitution with the Bible as the law of the land.
Mark Robinson also has a nice, fun Facebook post from 2018 that says, quote, "This foolishness about Hitler disarming, all caps, millions of Jews and then marching them off to concentration camps is a bunch of hogwash," unquote.
You got very nicely done, Mr. Zalmers, in that that was the next point on here. That not only is he anti-LGBTQ, not only is he anti-woman, he also is anti-Semitic. and doesn't believe the Holocaust happened. This is the MAGA Republican Party of America today. And every person who runs under the so-called Republican ticket should be asked. I don't care whether it's a state legislator in Wisconsin, a state senator. I don't care whether it's a candidate for United States Congressman. If you are running under the so-called Republican ticket, which Donald Trump himself has said is 96 to 100% MAGA, every candidate should be asked, do you believe this? They should either have to say, yes, this is what I believe, or no, I publicly and forcefully disavow it. It's one or the other, folks. I used to belong to the old Republican Party, and I will tell you the party that I used to belong to, people would have come into a state convention and said, this crap, you would have been thrown out. I mean, there'd be like 8 or 10 people that would be off in a corner wearing tinfoil hats and say this kind of crap. And people would laugh at them. Now they are running the Republican Party, the MAGA Republican Party. Let's go to the phone lines. Dick and Madison listening to WMDX. Dick, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, tonight I hope that Biden speaks to a lot of the positives he's done. I'm sure he will. But are we going to have this heckling, like you say, from the peanut gallery?
I'm afraid we might. They can't help themselves.
It's ridiculous because, you know, and maybe he should start in like Trump likes to do, you know, when he's introducing at the beginning. Maybe you should talk to the speaker, Mike Johnson, as the modern day Neville Chamberlain, or, you know.
As much as I'd love to see that, Dick, I'd give credit, but I can't remember who I read on Twitter said this. What we really are looking for tonight, in my opinion, from Joe Biden is normalcy and strength and leadership, because that's the juxtaposition here. Crazy in Trumpism versus normalcy and leadership.
Well, Mark said it earlier. He hit it out of the park with the you know, try and remember back to just how insane it was across the board. Every day you had the guy, to me, he's like like the worst possible petulant child you could have to deal with.
Right.
You know, bring up the 15 million new jobs that'll start to kick in. I agree. Mm. And the 46,000 projects in the infrastructure that he never did, and keep going back and forth to the stuff he has done that the other guy promised and never did.
Yeah. No, I agree that the contrast is stark. You don't even have to make stuff up. It has the wonderful part about being true, right?
Yes, exactly.
Great call. Thank you so much, Dick. I really appreciate it. Dick listening in on WMDX in Madison. Going to be very interesting. Let's play quickly. This is Speaker Johnson on CBS this morning. Do we have time for this one, Mr. Somers? The IVF clip or do what we come back? All right, here is the speaker talking about IVF. In vitro fertilization, and when questioned by Tony DeCoppo this morning.
But there's this question of embryos. In the process, they are destroyed, disposed of. If you believe life begins at conception, fertilization, and I know you do you see that as murder? It's something that we've got to grapple with. You know, it's a brave new world. IVF's only been invented, I think, in the early 70s.
It's a brave new world. IVF was, you know, only invented in the 70s. We've only had 50 years to figure this out.
Women couldn't get credit cards in their own name until 1974.
There you go. Republicans don't want to answer the tough question. Now, Mike Johnson's no Marjorie Taylor Greene. He'll look at you with, you know, crap in his mouth and smile. But I mean, it's the same thing. It's an assault on women. It's an assault on decency, quite frankly. And I have confidence that Joe Biden will be the leader that he is. He will look normal. He will look strong. And I'm looking forward to it. You can hear it tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network at 8 o'clock. We'll come back and talk about what is not normal. Ron Johnson, some great reporting by CBS 58 on the other side.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the top of the hour national news, check of weather and sports, and then Maggie Dawn. Now, the Maggie Dawn Show takes over these airwaves. She's a busy individual, as she'll be hosting her show from 2 until 4, and then joining Stuart J. Waddles for our coverage of the State of the Union tonight, starting at 8 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network, except on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Racine, Kenosha, which will carry the Wisconsin men's basketball game tonight. While I get to this, we'll probably spend some more time tomorrow because I teased it and didn't want to leave people hanging. Some great reporting, and we've been talking about this here since earlier in the week, about these fake electors and this settlement showing that a lot more people knew what was happening than is being let on. And the great reporter, A.J. Byaport of CBS 58 in Milwaukee, had a story late last night saying new documents show Ron Johnson's office was told January 6 documents were, in fact, about fake electors. Documents released this week as a part of lawsuit settlements reveal new communications indicating Senator Ron Johnson and his top aide were told papers sent to his office on January 6 had to do with Wisconsin's presidential electors. For years, Johnson has downplayed his knowledge about the effort to deliver fake documents to then-Vice President Mike Pence, pledging electoral votes for Donald Trump from 7 states, including Wisconsin. The newly released records include communication from Jim Troupas, who is Trump's lawyer in Wisconsin during the 2020 recount and subsequent effort to throw out more than 200,000 absentee ballots from Milwaukee and Dane counties. That part, let me step away from the story for a second. That part sometimes doesn't get enough coverage, I don't think. What the Trump folks did, Jim Troupas, the leader of it, was to try to disenfranchise and throw out more than 200,000 absentee votes from Milwaukee and Dane County. A very important part. And this is the main reason I left the Republican Party in 2011, because I was in the room, a closed Senate caucus, where Republican senators, not all but many, Glenn Grothman among them, Mary Lozick, who said, we need to think about what these so-called voter ID bills will do to places like Milwaukee and the college campuses. And what they meant was in places where there is a large contingent of black and brown folks and college students that more than often than not vote Democratic, this would help Republicans. And so here you have the proof now that Jim Troupas and these Republicans trying to disenfranchise 200,000 plus voters in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee and Dane County. Back to the article from CBS 58, A.J. Byaport. Previous document dumps, including those from the House January 6th committee, indicated Johnson had pushed for the state legislature to get involved and pick the state's electors. Those records also indicated Johnson connected Troupas to his staff. This week's records release show a text from Troupas directly to Senator Ron Johnson on the morning of January 6th. Quote, "We need to get a document on the Wisconsin electors for the VP immediately," unquote. Troupas texted Johnson. And there's actually an actual literal text in the story here on CBS 58. A newly revealed text message from Jim Troupas to Senator Ron Johnson shows Troupas indicated a package sent to Johnson's office revealed to Wisconsin's 2020 presidential or related to Wisconsin's 2020 presidential electors. 6 minutes later, Johnson initiated a group text with Jim Troupas and his chief of staff, Sean Riley. Quote, "Jim Troupas, meet Sean Riley," unquote. Johnson wrote. About 1 hour after that, Johnson notified Troupas by text, quote, "We have been informed the VP cannot accept any unsealed mail and cannot hand it to them, to him," unquote. And then Troupas replied, "At a minimum, you could read it into the record," unquote. Johnson never responded to Troupas' suggestion. While Troupas told Johnson the documents pertained to the state's presidential electors, Johnson has repeatedly said he didn't know what Troupas was trying to get to Pence. Quote, "I didn't connect Jim Troupas. Troupas called me, asked if I could deliver something to the vice president," Johnson told CBS 58 back in December. "That's all I knew. I had no idea," unquote. In a text exchange with Mike Roman, a Trump campaign official who has since been charged in Georgia in connection to the electors plot, Troupas said he hadn't been too specific with Johnson. Quote, "Ron will be expecting something," unquote. "I did not go into detail with him. I told Sean what it was," Roman replied. I mean, if you dig through this story, again, great reporting by A.J. Byaport here in CBS 58. And if you read the actual texts that were released from these guys' cell phones, I mean, a kindergartner could connect the dots. We've said this before when the whole weird thing with Andrew Hick came out, former Republican Party chairman of Wisconsin, with Anderson Cooper on CBS 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago. I just said, this is weird. Well, I agree with some people who are saying that perhaps Andrew Hick cut a deal, whether it was Josh Call, the attorney general of Wisconsin, or Jack Smith, and said, "Look, Andrew, if you want to keep your law license in Wisconsin, you're going to go on CBS 60 Minutes and tell the truth that Trump lost the 2020 election and that you're disavowing Donald Trump," which he did. I think there was a deal cut. I don't know from whom. Some people are saying it was Call. Some people think it's Jack Smith. But I believe there was some kind of a deal cut for Hit to be the person who kind of works with prosecutors to bring all this to fruition. And now more deals are being cut, and this is all coming out in the wash. Ron Johnson knew exactly what he was doing. Ron Johnson was part of an attempted coup. He was part of an insurrection. Andrew Hitt was a part of it. Also, Mark Jefferson, Republican Party of Wisconsin, who just resigned, is part of it. They're all guilty. They're corrupt to the core. That's what's on the line in November. And it all kicks off tonight with the State of the Union and Joe Biden trying to save democracy. Are we with him? That's the question tonight. Great show. Thank you, Mr. Zomers. Thanks to all of you for listening. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn. On behalf of all of us here at the Todd Allball Show, don't give up. Believe in what you're fighting for. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
They will come. Keep banging on your drum.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Thursday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll be joined by Wisconsin Policy Forum's Rob Henkin for a deep dive on the issues.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors for all students. I'm Peggy Wirtz-Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. WEAC, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden will make the case for another 4 years at tonight's State of the Union. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
He is going to.